To the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. If you've been listening to the show, you know we've done about 7,000 programs since our first in, 1991. And from the beginning, we've called out Christians who are anti-Semites, Christians who hate the Jews. My life's work, the plot, an overview of the Bible we published decades ago, it has a summary of the history of anti-Semitism in the church in it, and what a tragic story that is. Now there is a book out by someone who is truly qualified, somebody who has really taken on Christian anti-Semites, Dr. Michael Brown, fellow talk show host. The title of the book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People. Dr. Brown, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, great to be with you. And yes, sir, this is an incredibly serious subject. And I'm so glad to know that it's been something you focused on for years.
Yes.
Very important to hear
that. Yeah, it's been on our heart. And even recently, a pastor, so-called pastor in Wyoming, Chuck Baldwin, he and I had a strong disagreement just recently. And we've now put that on our website as another tool for people to be able to identify anti-Semitism among Christians. But you're the expert, Dr. Brown. This goes back through the ages. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, let me start with when I first came to faith in late 1971 and then tell you about the history of this book. Because it's shocking, Bob. It's eye-opening. It's disturbing. And let me put this right out and say that in the last 6 months, I have confronted and experienced more anti-Semitism among professing Christians than in the previous 47 years combined.
Oh, my.
So here's what happens. I grew up on Long Island in a Jewish community, but we went to school with Gentile friends, and really I experienced no anti-Semitism growing up. I mean, marginal, nothing to speak of.
Right.
I came to faith in a church that loved the Jewish people and loved Israel, and now I'm a brand-new believer, off drugs. My life has changed. My dad said, okay, Michael, it's great you're off drugs, but we're Jews. We don't believe this. I want you to meet the local rabbi. So, of course, I want to talk to the rabbi about Jesus. I'm going to witness to everybody.
Right.
And right up front, he gives me a book. And it's about anti-Semitism in church history. Now, bear in mind, I didn't know church history and had no exposure to it.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up experiencing anti-Semitism. I didn't live in Europe in the time of the Holocaust and the generations before that. Crusades and Inquisitions were more or less empty words to me. So everything in the book was new. I still have that book together with the letter the rabbi gave me, urging me to remember the millions of Jews who died rather than be baptized into the church. You think, what, baptism or death? That was a choice. Yes. In other words, what most Jewish people know about Christianity is a false and bogus Christianity.
Mm.
And in fact, there's a quote from a Catholic scholar that I've often referred to, Edward Flannery, that basically says the pages of history Jews have memorized, Christians have torn out of their history books. So in 1991, I got tremendously burdened. The church must feel the pain of the Jewish people. Now, Bob, I'm an evangelical follower of Jesus. I'm a Messianic Jew. I believe Jews need Jesus. I preach Jesus as the Savior for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. At the same time, I know that Jewish people have a miserable view of the church and Jesus because of church history, because of dehumanizing of Jews, demonizing of Jews, persecution of Jews in history. And in fact, so much of what the church did through the centuries is what Adolf Hitler actually put into practice. He just took things further.
Oh yeah. We have done a number of programs, Dr. Michael Brown, on Martin Luther, on his book. I read his book on the Jews and their lies, his Von Schem Hamphorus, which is just gibberish.
Yeah.
And a true hatred, a visceral hatred and advising criminal behavior and worse. I mean, the idea of concentration camps, and this all came through the centuries among so-called Christians, but then Luther, he really crystallized a lot of the hatred.
Yeah, Jews having to wear a yellow star, Nazis didn't come up with that. It wasn't just Islam that did it, Catholic Church did that. Jews being herded together in ghettos, Church did that. Martin Luther advocated for it. He said that Jewish places of business should be set on fire, businesses, synagogues destroyed. The beginning of the Holocaust, November 9th of 1938, which is called Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass, the Nazis just put into practice exactly what Luther had written. Mm-hmm. And the tragedy is that 20 years earlier, 1523, he wrote a very gentle book that Jesus Christ was born a Jew. He reached out to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
He said, if I had been a Jew and seen the way these hypocrites ran the church, the popes and the bishops, I would have rather been a pig than a Christian. Mm. He was humble and gracious, but when he didn't get the results he wanted, when he was old and sick, when some of his own people were showing an interest in the synagogue, when he saw some blasphemous anti-Jesus literature that came from some Jews, he exploded with this garbage. And if you want to know how bad things are, there's an evangelical author named Tex Mars. He has reprinted Luther's Concerning the Jews and Their Lives as a brilliant book. He has reprinted the Protocols of the Elders of Zion as this is must reading.
Wow.
And his own books are every bit as ugly in terms of conspiratorial theories and Jews trying to take over the world and, mm-hmm. and on and on. It's absolutely shocking. So I wrote, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, that the church would recognize and know this bloody history and understand that God had not replaced the Jewish people with the church and discarded them, that he still had purposes for the Jewish people in Israel. The book came out in 92 and has been in print ever since, been translated into multiple languages. The Chinese translator wrote to me and said, I'm translating your book with wails and tears. Well, that was 92. We've come a long way since then. So we have just finished. It's hot off the press, coming out basically right now. It is a fully updated, revised, expanded version. And Bob, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you.
And that's what I have right here.
Doing some of the updating was chilling.
Yes.
Chilling.
Yes, Dr. Brown, thank you for doing this, for doing the hard work that needed to be done. We've only scratched the surface of this nightmare. And for the Jews to have memorized the pages of history that the Christians have ripped out, what that has done is it's enabled yet another generation of Christians. Apparently, people who go to church, they bring their Bibles to church, and they focus on their hatred of the Jews. And so this history, I'm looking right here, one of our pages on our website, kgov.com/antisemitism, it has the quotes from Martin Luther. When I first read about this, Dr. Brown, I actually had a hard time believing that the English translation I was reading could possibly be accurate. I mean, Martin Luther saying that we're at fault in not slaying the Jews because of their guilt. And like you said, concentration camps and the whole thing, taking their money, not allowing them to travel on the roads, destroying their homes. And so I brought a German-speaking friend, a native-born Germany. We went to CU, the library up in Boulder, Colorado, University, Colorado. They had the Kritische Gesamtausgaben, the collected works of Luther in the original German. And we looked up the right volumes, pages, and he started translating. His name's Alfred. And Dr. Brown, Alfred, as he's translating, he's shaking and he starts translating faster. And then he's reading in German and tears are streaming down his face. And this is all was actually written by a man that is revered by millions of Christians. And I think you were a bit kind to say when he was older and sick. He was older, but he still was writing his theological writings that are revered.
I know it. Listen, I just try to paint the full picture because those things are sometimes used as excuses.
Right.
And tragically, some of Luther's defenders say, well, he didn't just say that about the Jews. He said that about others. Yeah, it is it's a real conundrum, because there's no question that Luther was used by God to take on all kinds of dead tradition in the church, that it took a man of incredible courage and fortitude to do what he did. But because there were areas of his life that were not crucified, he ended up like a bull in a china shop and did tremendous, incalculable damage with his tongue.
Yes.
And Catholic apologists point to the writings of Martin Luther to debunk the Protestant Reformation and say, if that's your founder, it's corrupt. It's scary. Look, what happened with your with this man doing the translating for you? It is shocking. And I included more quotes. I expanded. I had Luther in the first edition, but I expanded. I added more. But you got to go. You know, you go back to the 4th century and John Chrysostom, 4th, 5th century, shouting, "God hates the Jews, and I hate the Jews." This has been something resounding through the centuries. During the Crusades, crusaders marching and saying, "Kill a Jew and save your soul." This is a serious sickness, and as I'm seeing it today, from Catholic scholar E. Michael Jones, from Rick Wiles and True News, you know, evangelicals, you know, Rick Wiles saying that ISIS didn't exist, it's an Israeli operation, and the Jews control the White House, and the sexual revolution was a Zionist plot.
Yeah, the delusion.
I'm thinking, this is going to lead to bloodshed.
The
this
delusion,
is lead to bloodshed.
And it does, and it does. The delusion and the paranoia in the debates you've had, the paranoia that comes across from anti-Semite authors. You mentioned Chrysostom. He did a series of 8 sermons against the Jews. So this goes back 387 AD, and he makes this argument that many others have made: when God forsakes a people, what hope of salvation is left? Well, my dad, a Messianic Jew, Al Sharon, he's gone now to be with the Lord. You are a Messianic Jew. Rabbi Eliezer Urbach here in Denver, a dear friend of this ministry. There's tremendous hope for the Jews, but what they want to communicate is a false teaching that the Jews are eternally cut off from God, they cannot repent, and they are the enemy of the world.
Look, I had E. Michael Jones on my show to have a civil discussion, honestly and openly. The fact that I told him his views are anti-Semitic, he's been on leading a charge against me for weeks now, months, you know, putting out videos. He wrote a 26-page book attacking me, mentions me 45 times in 26 pages.
So I've seen some of that, and thank you for taking these guys on, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, glad to do it. But, you know, he quotes Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, takes it out of context, and says, the Jews are the enemies of all mankind. They're hostile to all men. I said, that's not anti-Semitic. He said, I just have to be loyal to the text and stay with Paul. And I said, listen, I know you say that no one should harm the Jews, but I'm telling you that words like yours lead to violence. Not long after that, the Poway Synagogue shooting happens. And the guy's quoting the same stuff. It sounded like he was quoting out of the handbook of E. Michael Jones. And I said, look, the shooter is responsible. I have no idea if he even knows who E. Michael Jones is, but it's this type of rhetoric that has led to Jewish bloodshed for centuries, and often at the hands of professing Christians. Look, it was very common in Russia, Poland, you go back 100-something years, and the preachers, the Catholic priests, the preachers, whoever they were, they'd be preaching up a sermon on Easter, and the Jews, the Christ killers, instead of rejoicing that God sent his son to die for our sins, no, instead, the Jews, the evil Christ killers, and they would then go out, start launch pogroms. They'd try to find a Jew to kill one of these Christ killers. This is madness. And when you talk about it now, when I confront these guys, when I confront Rick Wiles and E. Michael Jones, and some of these others, Ted Pike and some of these others, they come back with the vitriol. You're defending the Talmud, which sanctions pedophilia. I've been accused of being a secret agent of Mossad. Yeah. This is the crazy stuff, but people actually believe it. And if you go to my YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, we've got almost 2,000 videos. Probably on average, you know, if a video has 100 thumbs up, it's got maybe 10 thumbs down. You know, people like our stuff. But when we come after the anti-Semites, we'll have 1,000 thumbs up and 2,000 thumbs down. They come out of the woodwork with every you hook-nosed Jew. Right. Hitler didn't do enough, good enough job.
Yeah.
And many of them are professing Christians.
When Luther was really advocating Jewish genocide, and he wrote that the blood of the children, which still shines forth from their eyes and their skin, this blood libel that could be traced in history. Could you describe what he meant by that?
Yeah, so the blood libel is something that has cost many Jews their lives. It's widely believed to this day in the Muslim world. So we're not just talking about the idea that all Jews for all time are responsible for the death of Jesus, based on a misreading of Matthew 27 when a Jewish crowd said, "Let his blood be on us and our children."
Right.
It's not just that, that this is now applied to all Jews for all time. So all Jews for all time are Christ killers, and because Christ is God, they are now guilty of killing God, so they should be killed. Okay, put that horrific libel aside. There is a myth that has caused much Jewish suffering, that every year at the time of Passover, used to be just with a Christian child, sometimes it could be a priest or something, that they'd be kidnapped, tortured, and then their blood would be drained, and their blood would be used to make matzah during Passover. Hmm. And you say, who in the world would believe that? We've documented this
thing
being circulated and believed on Muslim TV series to this day, in best-selling books to this day. This is actually believed, the blood libel. When you hear it, that's what it's referring to. Now we have other variations of it, that the Israelis are killing Palestinians to harvest their organs for a secret organ trade, and that this is, and that there's a genocide taking place against the Palestinians so that their organs can be harvested.
Right.
It's just another type of variation about the evil Jews and their bloody ways.
Calling them Christ killers, the Apostle John went out of his way in his gospel to explain that the occupying Roman Empire would not allow the Jews to execute someone. The Roman occupation, they usurped that authority and they kept it for themselves, so that, yes, the high priest Caiaphas, his father-in-law Annas, Herod couldn't care less. Yes, they wanted Jesus crucified, but it was the Gentile governor Pontius Pilate who was the one who sentenced Jesus to death. In fact, he found the Lord innocent, not guilty. Never in history, I don't believe in one other case in history, has a man been found innocent of the charges against him and then sentenced to death. Jesus Christ is innocent. He's not guilty, and he was crucified for the sin of the world, Jew and Gentile together, and for such a misreading of the scriptures to be a justification for hatred. That's what's been going on, and it's been going on for 1,700 years and more.
Yeah, it has been. And when you go back even to the second century,
all right,
so the disciples of the apostles, there begins to be a separation where if you're going to hold to your Jewish roots, Jews to live as Jews following Jesus in the liberty of the new covenant as the apostles did, there's something suspect. You're either Jewish or Christian. There's a bit of a separation. And then, because of ongoing Jewish resistance to the gospel, you now have the demonizing of the Jews. And then once you have Constantine and the church coming into power with the conversion of Constantine and declaring that the Roman Empire will be Christian, now Christianity is the dominant state religion. Instead of being a persecuted sister religion to Judaism, it is the state religion. And now the church is prospering, the church is building its monuments, and aha, the Jews, their role is to be a witness people, forever cursed, demonstrating the justice of God because they committed the ultimate outrage, they rejected the Messiah. Mm. Listen, there's no question that we were guilty as a nation. Peter says in Acts 3, he calls us to account, the leaders, for crucifying the Messiah, obviously through Roman hands, but then he says, I know you did it ignorantly. You didn't understand. So now repent, now that he's risen from the dead. That we didn't repent nationally, yes, the temple was destroyed, we suffered exile, of course we understand that, but God's heart has beat the entire time for the redemption of his people, and the one who scattered Israel said that he would regather. And yet the same Christians who every day are shouting, grace, grace, we're not perfect, we stand by grace, we're not here because of our goodness, but because of God's goodness, they can't see. It's the same with Israel. God preserved Israel because of his goodness. God brought our people back to the land because of his goodness. We stand because of his faithfulness, not ours. The church should be rejoicing and saying, God's patient, loving, kind, dealing with Israel, preserving his people through the centuries and bringing them back to the land is a sign that God keeps his promises. Hmm. Instead, you know, the other day, someone blasted me and called me immoral, and I'm a homophobe, and I'm a closeted homosexual, and I'm a Zionist. Oh, that's, Zionist is evil. And in the same sentence, you're a closeted homosexual, you're a homophobe, and you're a rabbi. Right. First, I'm not a rabbi, but second, so that's an insult now? The same as homophobe and closeted homosexual?
Yeah, now I might be a homophobe, but I don't think it's irrational. Dr. Brown, racism, anti-Semitism, they're slightly different, but in the same category. The only thing necessary for racism to exist because of the fallen state of mankind, because of our sin, our rebellion against God, the only thing you need for racism is a second race. It's sort of like auto racing. You know, when was the first race? Well, when they built the second car, then that was the first race. And as soon as you have a second race, it could be the Hutus and the Tutsis. Any two, it could be the Chinese and the Japanese. Any two groups of people, two Native American tribes, and the hatred between the two can become then institutionalized throughout the generations. And with Israel, when God chose Israel as his nation, they were to be his spokesnation to the world, that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. I mean, it was a de facto difference then. They were different as compared to every other nation in the world. And that alone, aside from other reasons, other sinful reasons, simply the fact that they can be identified as different is sufficient. It's a sufficient enough cause for there to be hatred through the centuries.
There's no question that, and look, remember, this was God's calling on Israel to be separate. God's calling on Israel to be different than the nations, to keep a seventh-day Sabbath,
right,
to observe certain dietary laws, a certain holiday,
not to intermarry,
standards.
Right.
So absolutely, the moment you're different, you're going to be singled out.
Yeah.
And in the second-to-last chapter of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I look at the phenomenon of anti-Semitism worldwide, and I need to underscore this again because I had done research, church history through the centuries, then looking at what's happening in the popular media and how Israel is viewed, and then contemporary theology and all this. So I had done research up until 1991, and the book came out in 1992. Now I'm updating it. And the second to last chapter deals with anti-Semitism. Why? How do we explain it? And ultimately, it is demonic, it is diabolical. Satan wants to wipe out the Jewish people, and it is the Jewish people who must welcome back Jesus, the Messiah. Hmm. The whole thing falls into place when you see it like that. Well, as I was updating, so I've got things, you know, the UN up through 1991, the media up through 1991, black supremacists, white supremacists up through 1991, and on and on, wrong church theology up through 1991. Well, now I'm updating it, and I'm almost shaky in my boots updating some of the book because same thing then, even worse now.
Wow.
Horrible quotes then, same people, even worse. I mean, Louis Farrakhan's in the book then and in the book now. And mm-hmm. you know, and we didn't have the synagogue shootings back then, and we didn't have the level of world hostility towards Israel because you have to remember, you go back, in my generation, I'm 64, there was the miracle of the modern state of Israel. The Holocaust was a very, very real and ongoing memory. Mm. We saw the miracle of the Six-Day War in 1967, and it must have been the hand of God. This younger generation goes up, Israel's just the tyrant of the Middle East. It's a genocidal nation. Mm-hmm. It's evil and should be dealt with. And,
yeah.
and you got radical Islam all around it. That's not the problem. It's evil Israel. And you look at it and you scratch your head and you think people are getting a totally skewed view on things. And once again, now that Israel's established in the land, now that Israel can defend itself, the anti-Semites can come with raging fire once again
and
target the evil Jews.
And the fact that anti-Semitism is in the headlines almost daily today, and that this is something the church has been fighting, at least those who knew to fight it, for, you know, going on 2,000 years, the plot. I've got references going back to, you know, the late second century on. Some of our family took a wonderful vacation a couple weeks ago, and our youngest son, we have seven sons, and Dominic, he's been working with the radio show here for a few years, but he's just 18. In New York City, as tourist, he left the family for the day and went to the Holocaust Museum. And so Dominic and I are planning to do a show on his day at the Holocaust Museum. And I've had the ability to go to the museum in Washington, D.C., the Holocaust Museum, and in Jerusalem. Is it Yad Vashem? What's the name of it?
Yes, Yad Vashem.
Yad Vashem. Sir. Yeah, and the horror of that. And Dr. Brown, I grew up in the 70s, you know, 60s, 70s. I went to 8 years Catholic grammar school, 4 years public school. I was taught nothing about the slaughter of the Jews, the genocide of the Jews by the Germans in World War II. Literally nothing. I learned about this on my own as an adult, and I was actually angry. I was 20 years old. I was angry at my education system, and even my parents a bit. They love me. You know, they came to the Lord later. But angry that no one had taught me this, that this is this hatred consumed the world.
Yeah, and consumed the world on such a massive level that you're talking about the systematic butchering of 6 million men, women, and children, a million and a half children and infants among them, and with complicity of us. We're not just talking about a war, a terrible war, where millions of lives are lost because of the ego of leaders or so, and they're fighting each other. We're talking about rounding up whole communities of people and executing them in cold blood because they are parasites. So what does Louis Farrakhan say? They're termites. You know, Jews hear these things and they say, what in the world is happening? And you mentioned not learning certain things. We're talking about Luther earlier. So I've had the privilege of being a visiting professor or an adjunct professor at a bunch of different seminaries, some of the finest seminaries in the world. I've taught at some of them specific courses. And I've talked to church historians. I mean, guys that are respected, that are knowledgeable, that are brilliant, that are godly men, and that literally they forget more church history in a few days than I've learned my entire life.
Right.
And I've said to them, so when you teach church history, when do you bring in the anti-Semitism part? And they've looked at me with shame and said, we don't. I said, well, you have like whole courses on Luther. Sometimes the, you know, certain seminaries, depending on their focus, they'll have several courses on Luther. I said, so when do you deal with Luther's anti-Semitism and right? We don't. Chrysostom's Sermons Against the Jews, we don't mention that. It's just this blind spot. And these are good men. And these are probably Israel-loving men. And yet it's a blind spot. And it's shocking to me to hear you could grow up without knowing the impact, the intensity, the evil of the Holocaust. But
that
people around the world don't even believe it existed.
That was in New Jersey, and I went to St. Anthony's Catholic Grammar School. 8 years I was an altar boy for years. As I've read the accounts in the books about the people who tried to save the Jews and those who gave their lives trying to save the Jews, and I compare that with, and you know, it's not my intention to bash Catholics here, but when I compare those who really did sacrifice to save Jews and the Catholic Church's influence generally, the people who saved the Jews were distraught that they didn't do more, how much they should have done, how much they could have done, and they were devastated by how little they actually did, even though they practically gave up their lives to save Jews during that time. Whereas the Catholic Church, it defends itself as we did everything we could possibly have done. We couldn't have done any more than we did. And so that, to me, seems to be a line of discernment. Those who say we did everything we possibly could have done are making excuses. Those who really even gave their lives said we did almost nothing, we should have done more.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And some of the people, when you read their stories, they don't even seem to be like these absolutely radically devoted Christians. Some clearly
right.
are, like the Ten Boone family.
Yeah.
But others, they were almost nominal Christians, but they saw the monstrous evil of what was happening.
Right.
And when you talk, they suffered, they were thrown in prison, we didn't really do much. It is quite striking. And look, I know if I was involved with something and I made an effort, a small effort to help, and my small effort failed, and many, many people were hurt, I would immediately say, I failed. I didn't do enough. I fell short because all these lives were lost, and I know I could have done more. When you have churches, denominations, organizations standing up and defending their behavior during the Holocaust, you know something's wrong because you don't defend yourself when the results are that horrific. And look, within Germany, you had these liberal Protestants. They were thrilled. They were thrilled that Kristallnacht happened to fall the morning after, as the synagogues were burning. It was Luther's birthday. And they thought, this is what a great coincidence.
Yeah.
This is terrific. The Nazis put out their own version of the Bible, of the New Testament, called The Message of God, the Botschaft Gottes. Mm. And in it, they had to remove many, many verses that were pro-Jewish, like salvation is from the Jews in John 4:22. They just removed them entirely because they couldn't have that. It had to be anti-Semitic. They had whole books written by theological, great theologians, brilliant men, saying that Jesus was not Jewish.
Wow.
All my life as a believer around the world, I've been out of the United States almost 200 times, or maybe more than 200 times. Around the world, Bob, I've experienced incredible love for the Jewish people, incredible love for me as a believer. Incredible solidarity with Israel. I've often said to myself, and even told rabbis, I wish I could take you with me around the world.
Right.
I wish you could join me in this country. You would be blown away by Christian love for Israel. It's the exact opposite of everything I documented in Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And yet, I'm seeing that rising tide. You mentioned Chuck Baldwin. Someone sent me links. I haven't reviewed the stuff, but someone sent me links where he seemed to be blasting, positions that I would hold very sacred and dear.
Yeah.
And other leaders coming out of the woodwork. It is unnerving.
Yeah.
It's the repeat of what we've seen before. All the more reason, you and I, others, we must educate our listeners, our viewers. That's why we put out the new edition of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. This generation of Christians must push back immediately against the rising tide of anti-Semitism, especially in the church.
Dr. Brown, we're almost out of time. We're going to post your book on our primary page on the topic. We have a landing page for anti-Semitism on our website through our ministry for many years, kgov.com/anti-Semitism. So the book will be available right there. We'll link to it so people could purchase it. I have one last topic. It's too much to get into the theology of replacement theology and how that has given the opportunity for those who had a tendency to express their hatred of the Jews. They get bad teaching, bad theology, and then it's as though that's the match that lit the fuse. But I do want to talk about one last thing. The Talmud, many years ago, I was a young Christian. I became a Christian September 1973, through Campus Life, a group like Youth for Christ in high schools. Wonderful outreach. And shortly after that, I am shown quotes from the Talmud about how the rabbis from centuries ago were pedophiles and how they defended the most horrific things. And so I saw these, and it was early on and before the internet. And it was difficult, but I was able to see that these superficial quotes, they were used by people who were utterly ignorant, who had no idea what they were quoting. And maybe you could take the last 2 minutes we have. If people in the audience have read quotes like, it's nothing for an adult man to have sex with a child, like a young child.
Yeah.
Could
absolutely.
You explain how those are twisted?
Yeah. First, in the new edition of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I've expanded the material dealing with replacement theology. I've gone into more detail. I cite more recent authors and studies, so plenty of information there. When it comes to the Talmud, I deal with that as well. Listen, I'm a Messianic Jew, not a Talmudic Jew. I have a whole volume in my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, why I explain why I don't accept Talmudic authority. So I am in a battle with the rabbis over the Talmud.
Sure.
However, when it's misrepresented, I'm going to raise my voice. So the Talmud is complex legal documentation, often arguments going back and forth about legal theory and things like that, and people who are ignorant of it have misused it for centuries to create all kinds of evil things like the rabbi-sanctioned pedophilia. So, for example, the idea that it says if a girl loses her virginity before she's three, it's nothing. What's it talking about? It's talking about should she be viewed by the law as a virgin. Let's say a man abused her when she was 2 years old.
Right.
So she's technically not a virgin.
So
should she be privileged to be viewed as a virgin when she marries?
The anti-Semite.
Yes, she should.
So the anti-Semite takes that, misunderstands it, and uses it as though the Talmud is giving license to adult men to have sex with toddlers.
Exactly.
When it's actually mercy toward the toddler that, of course, this little child is not responsible for this.
Right, and shouldn't be viewed as a virgin. And 3 years old is kind of an age that's set for whatever reason. So you have verses like that. Or if a man has sex with a minor, the boy is exempt. What it means is exempt from the death penalty, you know?
Right.
You know, so, and look, again, I'm not a Talmudic Jew. That's the whole contradiction.
Right.
I've spent 47-plus years sharing the gospel with the Jewish community and being rejected by my people and rejecting the authority of the Talmud. And now the moment I say, but look, this is not accurate. This is not true. Oh, you're not really a Christian.
Right.
You're not really a follower of Jesus. You infiltrated the church 47 years ago as a secret agent to destroy it. I think.
Right.
Have people lost their minds?
Yeah, I think so. Well, sin, you know, stupid doesn't lead to sin, but sin leads to stupid. And when you hear the debates, the arguments from the anti-Semites, they're absurd. I've had the honor of leading three tours to Israel. Although we frequently criticize the policies of Israel, of course, with every nation in the world.
Yep.
But thank you, Dr. Brown, for holding Christians to account and loving the Jews enough to tell them about Jesus Christ.
You're very welcome, and thanks for all you do. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, friends. Get the new edition.
Amen. God bless you guys.
God bless.